You're listening to a podcast from 702.
There, we're talking matter of fact with Africa Check, and we'll be looking at two particular stories that need some closer interrogation. And we'll start with the major one around crime stats. We're joined by Kaylee Clifford, who's a researcher at Africa Check. Hello, Kaylee.
Hi, Zanya.
The last time we spoke, you were off to get married. So welcome back.
That's right.
It's been a while. Welcome back. Yes. So we've had our crime stats, of course. The two announcements happened pretty close to each other, the annual stats and then the quarterly stats. And there was a report on Independent Online that claimed that KwaZulu-Natal was South Africa's murder capital, and the province's Inanda township is the rape capital. And they were referring to the 2019 and 2020 crime statistics. And you got questions from readers about whether or not this is accurate.
Yes, so this is to do with the crime stats for the 2019-20 financial year, which were released last month. And I think, as always, the stats received quite a lot of media coverage, and many news outlets really took the time to kind of break the figures down according to provincial and local level. And we zoomed in on one analysis by the Independent Online claiming that KZN is the murder capital of South Africa and that Inanda is the rape capital. So I think, you know, we can separate the claims and deal with them one at a time.
Yeah, let's start with whether or not it's the murder capital. And so what are we talking about exactly? Because we do hear about the murder rate, and then we have our numbers annually of the number of murders committed in South Africa.
Yeah, well, murder stats are slightly easier, I think, because they are considered the most reliable. They can be independently verified. And when we look at the numbers, we see that the police recorded 21,325 murders in 2019-2020. Mm-hmm. And 4,859 of those were recorded in KwaZulu-Natal. It was more than in any other province. Hmm. And when Minister Beyikele was asked the reason for this increase, he identified the provinces Inanda and Umlazi townships as problematic areas. So, you know, that may be the case, but how then does that make KZN the murder capital of the country?
Mm-hmm. So based on those figures, then, what are we to deduce, especially in comparison with, say, other provinces?
So the tricky thing here is that when we look just at total number of murders that took place in a province, it doesn't tell us much about the risk of victimization or the frequency of the violence.
Mm.
So we spoke to Dr. Andrew Fall about this. He's a researcher at the Institute for Security Studies, and he made a very useful example to kind of demonstrate why we can't just look at total numbers. I think it's worth going into.
Yeah.
He looked at the years 2012. In the United States, they recorded nearly 15,000 murders. And in the same year here in South Africa, we recorded about 15,500.
Mm.
So, you know, some people may look at these figures and assume that the two countries are equally dangerous or equally violent. But if we consider this data in relation to the two countries' populations in 2012, we see that the U.S. has six times as many people as South Africa. So this actually suggests that people in South Africa were six times more likely to be murdered than people in the U.S., even though we both recorded roughly the same number of murders.
Mm.
And that's why when it comes to claims like this, it's so important that we look for murder and other crime rates rather than counts.
Okay. So knowing that then, how does which province then has the highest murder rate?
So crime rates look at the incidence of a crime in relation to the population, usually per 100,000 people.
Yeah.
And when we look at these stats and we convert them into murder rates, we see KZN's murder rate was 42.6 for every 100,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
But the Eastern Cape, which recorded 3,800 murders, had a higher murder rate of 59.5. And they were followed closely by the Western Cape, a murder rate of 58.2. So we can see that although KZN had the highest number of murders, other provinces had higher murder rates.
Mm-hmm. So you're likelier to get murdered in the Eastern Cape, then the Western Cape, then KZN. You're likelier to get murdered like that, but if we look at the murder rate. That's the likelihood.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but I mean, it's definitely worth highlighting parts of the country that seem to be the most violent. But in the greater scheme of things, it's actually not all that helpful to single out an entire province as a capital, because provinces are way too big for localized interventions. So ideally, what we actually want to do is, when it comes to identifying hotspots and then implementing solutions, we want to look at the murder rates at police station level and identify the places and the times when murder usually occurs.
Right. Okay. That makes sense. And then if we look, so where does that leave that claim then? Is it that hit or that story or how the crime stats were framed and reported on?
So we went with a misleading verdict, given that when you look at rape rates, it kind of alters the situation.
Okay.
But also given that labeling something a rape capital or murder capital is not very helpful.
Mm-hmm. And then the second one has to do with Inanda and the number of rapes that took place there.
Yeah, so here we have a much more localized claim. It doesn't single out a whole province as a rape capital. It says Inanda is the rape capital of the country. So when we look at the numbers, we see that the police recorded a total of 42,289 rapes in 2019-20.
Mm-hmm.
And the Inanda police station specifically recorded 297. That was more than any other police station in the country. And followed closely by Umlazi police station, also in KZN, they recorded 293 cases of rape.
Right. And based on that, the overall number, is it not safe to say that that is the rape capital of the country? Or does it also require a different kind of calculation?
Well, it's like the previous claim about murder. Total numbers alone are limited in how useful they are, because we really want to convert them into a rape rate to sort of get a clearer indication of high risk areas.
Yeah.
But it's not very easy to do that. You would need to know how many people live in each police precinct. And unfortunately, precincts don't always line up with census boundaries. So it makes it quite difficult to calculate a rape rate for specific areas. And even if you were able to calculate a rape rate for Inanda, you would then need to carry out that exercise throughout the whole country in order to see whether it does actually remain the so-called rape capital.
Right. Okay. So the claim about rape capitals can potentially draw our attention to a particular problem then. So it in a way, it doesn't help us understand the problem or how to address it. So once again, it's a number that really doesn't help us get to the bottom of stamping out this issue.
Absolutely, because it's not just the issue of calculating a rape rate. There's also the issue of underreporting, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's well known that rape stats collected by the police are not an accurate reflection of the actual number of rapes that
sure.
take place. So at best, all we're doing here is comparing the extent to which any one population or group or area is willing to report versus another.
Mm-hmm. All right. And provincially, is it also worthwhile doing a comparison?
It is. So this was brought to our attention by Lisa Vetten. She's a gender-based violence researcher. And she was saying that what would be helpful is to try and understand geographical variations in the distribution of rape. Because when you look at the provincial breakdown, it is quite clear that there are variations across the country. I mean, Eastern Cape, for example, has the highest rape rate. So not the highest number of rapes, but the highest rape rate, 111.7 per 100,000 people.
Mm.
Gauteng, the highest number of rapes, 8,500 in 2019-2020. But then it's also the most populous province, so it has a lower rape rate. Limpopo could be an interesting outlier, a relatively, you know, low number of rapes and a relatively lower rape rate compared to other provinces. So what all this is really telling us is that rape doesn't occur identically across the country, and it really pushes us to ask more nuanced questions about why rape might be higher here and lower there.
Yes. So then to call Inanda the rape capital, the township, the rape capital of South Africa, then it is too simplistic.
Yeah, and we've rated this claim as misleading as well.
Okay, so both of those from Independent Online viewed as misleading as Africa Check has dug into those particular headlines. And then let's look at something that was said by Kevin Anderson. Listen to me saying Kevin Anderson. No, the conservationist and English cricketer Kevin Peterson about tourism in South Africa. And I'm looking at the post now because he was speaking directly to Cyril Ramaphosa saying you should be sorting this. And he tweeted that 7.5 million people, your people, he says, are employed in the tourism sector and their jobs are at risk and that you should be sorting this, addressing that to President Cyril Ramaphosa. And then people contacted you to say 7.5 million people working in tourism?
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting figure. I think if you're a fact checker, you automatically find this a little bit suspicious. But even regular Twitter users were quick to point out that that's quite an unusually high figure. I mean, we know South Africa is a top tourist destination. We know it attracts millions of visitors every year. But employ 7.5 million people,
very high, right? That's quite high. How big is South Africa's workforce? I think that's also a curiosity, or it raises an interesting question. And how big is the proportion that works in tourism?
Yeah, so when we have a look at the numbers, we see that in June 2020, there were about 16.4 million people employed in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
But for statistics on the tourism sector specifically, we had to look at South Africa's tourism satellite account. This is a statistical tool, and it was adopted by the United Nations to measure goods and services that are associated with the tourism sector, but it's done according to international standards. So
okay.
That's quite nice because it's standard across the board.
Mm-hmm.
And their latest figures show that in 2018, the tourism sector directly employed 739,000 people. So a far cry from the 7.5 million.
Yeah, 7.5 million would be like 50% of the workforce in South Africa. As you said, we have what is about 16 people. 16 million people,
yeah,
rather.
16.4 million. So, I mean, I suppose to put that into perspective, the tourism sector then is responsible for about 4.5% of total employment.
Okay.
And there are a number of industries that make up the tourism sector. So the bulk of it is transport, whether it be rail, road, air, even water.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have things like recreational and cultural industries, accommodation, of course, and food and beverage serving.
Mm-hmm.
And the number of people employed in these industries is rising every year. Stats SA has actually described the industry as being quite resilient, even though we've seen some very tough economic conditions. Of course, the national lockdown would have had an effect on this.
Yeah, and we can't tell. It's really hard to tell right now what the extent of the impact on the tourism sector will be, especially now that it's opened up. Interprovincial travel will now be possible under level two. So it's hard to assess whether or not that 700,000 plus, 739,000 jobs whether that number will drop, or where will it be after the impact of the pandemic and lockdown?
Yeah, exactly. I think the problem there is that we don't actually have that much data to go on.
Yeah.
So there is a national multi-year survey that's designed to track poverty, household dynamics, livelihood in South Africa.
Mm.
That's the National Income Dynamic Study. And it recently conducted a coronavirus rapid mobile survey. It's nationally representative, 7,000 South Africans, and it's conducted every month.
Okay.
And it really looks at providing data on income, welfare, and employment, which is what we're interested in.
Okay.
And the first wave of this data shows that about 3 million people lost their jobs. So that's from February to April 2020.
Mm.
So we have, a total figure, but the survey didn't ask people what industry they were in. So we can't actually say how many of those job losses occurred in the tourism sector. What is promising is that the next survey will ask about industry, and the data will be released in a few months. So hopefully we'll have a much clearer idea about which sectors were most affected.
Right. So I think it's very clear that cricketer Kevin Peterson, his tweet about 7.5 million people being employed in South Africa's tourism industry, very wrong. It's incorrect. 739,000 South Africans were known to be employed in the tourism sector. That's a pretty straightforward one. Well, Kaylee, thank you very much.
Thank you.
That is Kaylee Clifford, researcher at Africa Check, for our every second Monday conversation. And we call it Matter of Fact because we live in a time when many of us publish information, we post, which makes us sort of, you know, publishers as well. And there's a responsibility that comes with that, which is to share information that is accurate ultimately. And in this case, he's got 3.7 million followers all over the world. And this particular piece of information, this number, was grossly incorrect. So wherever you see these falsehoods or claims that you don't quite believe, I mean, some have been proven to be correct. It's not to say that this is just about incorrect claims. But if you do come across a claim and you're curious about truth to it, its veracity, this is where you can pose that question. Simply get in touch with Africa Check or send us the claim and they will interrogate it further.